Hello, everyone, and welcome to our podcast for April, which is Poetry Month. My name is Erin, and I am a teen services librarian at the Clint Macomb Public Library, and I'm going to be talking with Kate Brown today. Welcome, Kate. Do you want to get us started and tell us about our poetry walk coming up?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Like Erin said, my name's Kate Brown, and I work here at the Maine Library. And one of the things I do at the library is by the 800 section, which includes poetry. So there's always something new in poetry. And if you have any suggestions, I'm happy to hear them. The Poetry Walk is a really special project. I can't say it was my idea, but I was asked to help find poems for the Poetry Walk. And we're about to have our third year. This is a partnership between the library and our friends over at the Tomlinson Arboretum. We find poems, print them on a nice template that our art person does here. Then we laminate them and they get attached to holders and placed by benches in the Arboretum, which is right across the street from the main library. So this year there are 26 poems. And six of them are by winners of the library's poetry contest. And we had some wonderful poems submitted, particularly the adult category. We had 10 poems that were all nice poems. It was difficult to pick what we thought was the best one. But I think when people see it, they'll respond to it the way that the judges responded to it this year. And we do hope that everyone who entered the contest or anyone who even enjoys poetry a little bit will come to our reception. That's going to be on May 22nd. It's a Sunday at 3 o'clock. And what we're hoping is that people who entered, not just the winners, but anybody who submitted to the contest will read their work. You could, if you have a favorite poem and you didn't write it, you could come and read that as well. So we'd have a few poems read and we'll have some refreshments. The winners will get their prizes there. And then if people want to, they can join us in walking across the street to see some of the poems over at the Arboretum. They will be up by then, that's May 22nd. They go up in the middle of May and they're up all summer long and come down in the middle of September. So in addition to the six poems that are by our community members, and those range from K to two to adult. So we had by grade level. But there are also classic poems, modern recent poetry, poems that are especially for kids. And they all have something to do with nature. They either lightly touch on the topic or that really is the theme of the poem. And a lot of them have a sort of magical mystical quality. At the end of the podcast, I'll read one of those that I think fits that very well. But first, Erin is going to talk about something special, which is young adult novels that are written in verse.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to get started on that, but I do have a couple questions for you. So this poetry contest that we have, is this going to be an annual competition or...
I don't know if we're going to do it again. This was the first year, and I haven't heard yet, you know, if we want to do it again. It is a certain amount of work and mm-hmm. somewhat painful when you're having to judge. But but I thought, it went pretty well. We did get entries, no high school entries, but we had entries from all the elementary divisions, as well as the middle school division. And of course, the adults, we had 10 poems from the adults. So that was the hardest one that we had to choose.
What was the criteria for submission? Like, did it have to be a certain length or...
Yes, we try to print the poems that we have in the Arboretum in an 18-point font. There are a couple that this year I noticed aren't quite able to get that large. But, you know, it's the idea is you're walking in the Arboretum. You're not sitting down with your glasses on necessarily ready to read a book. You're going for a walk, maybe with your dog or your family or a friend or whatever, and you come upon a poem and you read the poem. So we do want to make it easy on people. So there was a length requirement that it had to be fitting onto, we printed on legal size paper. So 8.5 by 13.5, I think it is. I think of it as 14. And then in 18 font. So all of the poems, and some were much shorter than that. Only a couple really kind of ran to the limit. And then they had to have to do with trees or nature. And again, that can be somewhat loosely defined. It could be in as a metaphor, or it could be, you know, literally about trees. And there were all of those.
That's awesome. That's exciting. I'm really looking forward to reading some of those poems.
Oh, good.
I have actually novels and verse in young adult literature have been around for quite a while. Although recently there's definitely been a resurgence of them. And I'm going to give short book talks on ones that we have in the collection. And then I'm going to talk a little bit longer about ones that I personally have read that I really recommend. So let's get started. And the first two authors, of course, on the recommended list are ones that I'm going to talk about quite a bit. So the first one that I will mention is that we have in our collection is Everybody Looking by Candace Isle. And basically the story is about Ada, who's a daughter of a religious Nigerian immigrant father and an African-American mother. And her mother is grappling with substance addiction, which impacts her relationship with Ada. So in this novel, it really draws heavily on life experiences, and it's a lot about body image, belonging, and identity. So I highly recommend this title. It's gotten a lot of buzz in the young adult community and recommended by a lot of other librarians that I've talked to. All right. One that has been on my to-read list that I have not read yet is Punching Air by Evie Zaboy. And Evie Zaboy became really well-known in Michigan because one of her first books that she wrote was actually set in Michigan. And was set in Detroit. I'm going to go ahead and it just occurred to me about that book, and I don't have it up. So I'm going to go ahead and bring up her. It was called American Street, and it was on a lot of awards. It was one of the community reads for some libraries in Michigan. It was a National Book Award finalist, 5-star reviews, and it won just all kinds of awards. So on the corner of American Street and Joy Road, Fabiola Toussaint thought she would finally find une belle vie, a good life. But after they leave Port-au-Prince, Haiti, Fabiola's mother is detained by U.S. immigration, leaving Fabiola to navigate her loud American cousins, Chantel, Donna, and Princess, the grittiness of Detroit's West Side, a new school, and a surprising romance all on her own. Just as she finds her footing in this strange new world, a dangerous proposition presents itself, and Fabiola soon realizes that freedom comes at a cost. Trapped at the crossroads of an impossible dream, will she pay the price for the American dream? So she's well known for that book. After that, not all of her novels are in verse. She wrote Pride, which is a Pride and Prejudice remix. Starring Black main characters, which is super exciting and awesome. And then, this book, Punching the Air, is she partnered with Yousef Salam, and it follows a wrongfully incarcerated Black teen and his fight to change the trajectory of his life. With gorgeous lyrical writing and a powerful message, this one will leave you changed. So this keeps moving up on my to-read list. Hopefully I'll get it into the next month or so, but I can't wait.
Those all sound really good. So when a novel is written in verse like that, does it actually rhyme, or is each part like a poem?
Some does. Yeah, actually. So each section is like a poem, which is like it. And when you actually look at it on the page, it does look like each page looks like a poem. Which is funny because when it's actually read, it reads kind of as a novel. Like you can tell how lyrical and beautiful it is, and you can see the poetry in it, but at the same time, it reads as like a full novel.
Okay. That does still sound wonderful.
Yeah, there's a couple more. One that is on my to-read list I haven't gotten to, by Joy McCullough, is a historical verse novel called Blood, Water, Paint, and it's based off of the life of renowned Italian painter Artemisia Gentileschi. I'm going to totally butcher this last name. Gentileschi, I think. Whose life was changed after sexual assault. And it's really an exploration of art, misogyny, and women reclaiming power. And I have heard so many good things about that. That's been on my list for a while too. One more short one, and then, which this I have to recommend. This is a nonfiction. It's actually, this is a verse memoir. It won a Prince Honor and several other awards. And for you, for those of you that don't know, Prince is the equivalent of the Newbery for teen books. So it's the best teen book that was written that year. And in this verse memoir, Nikki Grimes, she recounts her traumatic childhood, first with a schizophrenic mother and then bouncing through foster homes. At age 6, she discovers the power of words and writing. And the art form preserves her spirits and gifts us with the writer that we have today. She writes beautiful novels. That one is definitely not to miss. And then my absolute two favorite authors of novels and verse is Mahogany Brown, who I was able to briefly meet and chat with. She wrote Chlorine Sky, which came out last year. And it's about, it's a young girl coming of age and stepping out of the shadow of her former best friend. And one thing I really like about this is you can tell that it's really written from the community that she grew up in, and it has a little bit of AAVE. If you're not familiar, it's African-American vernacular English. So you kind of feel like you're in that world. You're getting an inside look at, this Black teen girl, this is her life, and this is what she has to go through and deal with. But it really does hit home with all of us when it talks about those teenage years of maybe you don't see eye to eye with a best friend and you're growing at different rates, and you go through that whole, maybe I'm losing my best friend, and are we going to see eye to eye, or maybe this is a juncture where we're no longer going to be friends because we're becoming two different people. So I really like how relatable it is. But for those of you that haven't read a lot of even just Black literature in general, does have some of that African-American vernacular English, which is great. It'll just get you more familiar with Black culture. So of course, last but not least is Elizabeth Acevedo, which a lot of people are familiar with. She wrote The Poet X, Clap When You Land, With the Fire on High. This year she's going to have her most well-known poem published, and it's called Inheritance. And I'm looking forward to reading that. I don't think I've actually heard her perform that or read it before. I recommend all of them. She reads all of her own audiobooks. Clap With You Land is her most recent novel, which is actually about two sisters that don't know about each other because their dad lives one life in the Dominican Republic and another life in America. I can't remember if it's America or Canada. No, it is New York, okay. And the other in New York. And they learn about each other. It's actually won audiobook awards. So I definitely recommend if you like listening to audio to listen to the audiobook. And because there's two different characters, Elizabeth Acevedo got one of her really good friends to narrate the other main character, and she is just as amazing. So those are all of my recommendations. I know there were so many of them. So in the transcript of the podcast, Jamie will have listed all of the titles and the authors that I have recommended. So Kate, do you want to kind of conclude us with a poem?
Yes, I just wanted to ask one thing, though, about the audio. Do you have those as a downloadable audio, an e-audio, or do you have them on CD or some of each?
So Elizabeth Acevedo, I believe we have all in CD and e-audio. The other ones we mostly have in e-audio on Overdrive. Some might be found in Hoopla, though, too.
Yeah, the e-audio is really great for people who want to, you know, just download, especially these kind of short books. And verse is, you know, wonderful to hear out loud. So I think, you know, that is going to be a great experience. And you can download those right to your phone or, you know, device, whatever, and, you know, be walking around and listening or doing something boring at home.
Yeah, I think like a lot of people think like you need to like travel or commute, and I do. So I do get more read that way, because listening to audiobook is reading. I'll do it while I'm doing chores at home, while I'm folding laundry, while I'm doing the dishes. You can, you know, listen to it on a headphone. You can have a speaker if nobody's around to disturb. And you can just do it all the time if you're going on a walk. Some people like to listen to music. I always listen to
audio. My husband usually has a... Oh, yeah. My husband listens to audiobooks when he's walking the dog. And I have a friend here at work who says, oh, yeah, when you're, you know, doing your household stuff, it's great. So I guess I'm one of those who... Well, I don't really have much of a commute anymore, but certain things I think are really worth listening to, and those sound great. I mean, you could read it too, but I do like that idea of hearing the verse. It's really wonderful like that.
Yeah, especially when it's like the author that reads their own work, because then you really get the intention.
Right, right. The emphasis is going to be where they want it to be. So I was talking about the poetry walk, and I'm not a great reader, but you can enjoy hearing this poem. I think it's interesting poem. It's called Silver, and it shows, it's one that I used in the poetry walk that I actually pulled out of a book of poems for children here at the main library, maybe the branches as well, but definitely the main library has a great collection of poetry for children. Old-fashioned stuff and modern stuff. And this is an older poem. The author is an English poet, Walter de Mare. He lived from 1873 to 1956. And he is best known for his poems for children, although he's also noted for short stories, which they called psychological horror. So that should be interesting. I haven't read any of those, but I was really taken with this particular poem and did get to include it in this year's poetry walk. There is one word that in the poem, you know, it's an older poem that we don't use anymore, and it's shoon, S-H-O-O-N. And I had to look it up, shoon. You can kind of tell what it might be from the context, but all it means is shoes. It's an older version of saying shoes. So here's the poem Silver by Walter de la Mare. Slowly, silently, now the moon walks the night in her silver shoon. This way and that she peers and sees silver fruit upon silver trees. One by one, the casements catch her beams beneath the silvery thatch. Crouched in his kennel like a log, with paws of silver sleeps the dog. From their shadowy coot, the white breast peep of doves in a silver feathered sleep. A harvest mouse goes scampering by with silver claws and a silver eye. And moveless fish in the water gleam by silver reeds in a silver stream. So that's the poem Silver by Walter de la Mare. And I think I picked a few poems this year that have sort of that mystical, magical quality. And you can see where it's about nature, but not very specifically so, but it's about the way that the moon looks at night. And that one was intended for children, but I think now these days we all would like that. Oh, there's one more thing about, if you want another kind of poetry walk preview, stop by the main library floor in April. It's National Poetry Month in April, and I always get to do the display, and I include a few verses. And this year, I'm really trying to include more from the poetry walk poems. So some I have, and they're just such great verses into themselves that I'll still put those up. But there will be some little snippets of poems that are in the poetry walk. So you might see something that intrigues you and decide to go out and read the whole poem in nature in May. But that's all I have.
Awesome, I'm so excited. I definitely want to do this poetry walk. I actually have never been to the Arboretum, so I need to take advantage of that and walk around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's lovely. It's sort of in two parts, but you just have to cross the street to get to the second part. And, you know, some people will go and maybe see the first few poems, and then some people will see all 26 on the same day, but it should keep you busy over the summer looking at those poems.
Definitely. All right. So if you happen to stop into the main library and happen to see Kate or I, definitely ask us for recommendations, and I'll be happy to give you some YA novels in verse, and Kate can give you some adult poetry to listen to.
Certainly.
All right. Thank you for listening, everyone.
Thank you. Bye-bye.